Blog Talk Radio.
We were four guys that I met. Paul and said, "Do you want to join me band?" You know, and then George joined, and then Ringo joined. We were just a band who made it very, very big. That's all.
That's all, huh? Welcome aboard the Amy Beth Arkley Show. Today, weaving together a special mosaic of voices from the arts and pop culture as we remember 50-plus years of fad. Beatlemania on the 50th anniversary, actually today, February 7th, 1964, the Beatles landed in New York for their first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show the following Sunday, February 9th. As you probably have heard, they will be having a big special on CBS this Sunday night that will feature a Grammy tribute concert, including Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr reunited on stage for the first concert performance in a very long time. Plus a lot of other artists. That should be very exciting. Today we're going to go a little further back even to before the Beatles were actually really the Beatles. Yeah, they started out in Liverpool. Back, it was 1958. Now, the exact date is unclear. It was sometime in the spring or summer of 1958 when the Beatles, they weren't called the Beatles, and there were five guys known as the Quarrymen, a group that consisted of John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, a piano player named John Lowe, and a drummer named Colin Hanton. Those last two guys wouldn't stick around for the fame and fortune later on. But they were there that day when they ambled into a kind of makeshift studio in Liverpool called Philips Sound Services. Sounds impressive. It wasn't so much. But they left with what they came for, a 78 RPM, a very delicate record. Did not have the name The Quarrymen on the record. Certainly didn't have The Beatles, which they only adopted about 2 years later. But it did have a notice, please use with a light pickup. The record was that delicate. On the A side, it was a cover of the Buddy Holly and the Crickets single, That'll Be the Day, with John on lead. The flip side featured a song, also with John on lead, but co-written by Paul McCartney and, not John Lennon, George Harrison, called In Spite of All Danger. Let's go back to 1958, remembering the Beatles and having some fab fun on the Amy Beth Arkley Show.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yeah, that'll be the day when you make me cry. I say you're gonna leave, you know I'm gonna lie. Cause that'll be the day when I die. When you give me all your loving and your blessed loving, all your hugs, kisses and your money too. You say you love me, baby, until you tell me, baby, that someday will
I'll be through.
Cause that'll be the day when you make me cry. That'll be the day when you say goodbye. You say you're gonna be, you know it's a lie. Cause that'll be the day when I die.
In spite of all the danger,
spite of all the heartache. But you ain't gonna be I'll do anything for you, anything you want me to.
McCartney's basement in Liverpool, probably 1959, early 60. Hallelujah, I love her so, mimicking the Eddie Cochran version of the Ray Charles tune. This is how the influences got over to England in a rapid succession back then. The group then was Paul McCartney, John Lennon, George Harrison. They were looking for a drummer because Colin Henton had exited pretty quickly after that demo session. And there was also Stu Sutcliffe on bass. Stu Sutcliffe, as you may recall, was part of the band for a brief time. He recorded during these hard Scrabble Hamburg days. There's a great movie, by the way, I don't know if you've seen it, about 20 years ago or so, called Backbeat, which is about the early days of the Beatles in Liverpool and in Hamburg, getting their audition, et cetera, and focusing a lot on the relationship between John and Stu and the tension that it caused between Paul and John, because Stu wasn't really as dedicated a musician as the others. He really was a fine artist, and he dropped out of the band to pursue his art. He fell in love with a German girl, and unfortunately he died at the very young ages of an aneurysm, I believe in Germany. I think he was in Germany when that happened. but had a budding career as a painter. But it's a very interesting movie and about the early hard Scrabble days of the Beatles, because a lot of people think, oh, they were so young, it was like an overnight sensation. They really had to work hard. I mean, those Hamburg sessions were like marathon nights, and they were busy going jostling back and forth between Liverpool, a little bit in London, Hamburg, later Sweden, and pursuing the record deal, which we'll talk about, was not always easy. But they did perform to get the attention of the man who would help them finally secure that record deal. Their first recording they made was with a British crooner known as Tony Sheridan. He took the lead on this one, and Paul will explain.
And we made a recording with him called My Bonnie, which got to number 5 in the German hit parade, but it didn't do a thing over here.
My Bonnie led over sea. My Bonnie lies over the ocean. Oh, bring back my Bonnie to me. My Bonnie.
Ain't You Sweet John taking the lead on the flip side of the My Bonnie song or single. And it didn't do well, I guess, as they said, although it did hit the hit parade in Hamburg, and it did draw the attention to the man who would become the Beatles' manager until his untimely death at the age of 32 in 1967, Brian Epstein, who definitely made it his business to get them the recording contract he thought they deserved.
Brian was a beautiful guy, Brian Epstein, and he was an intuitive, theatrical guy, and he knew we had something, he presented us well.
I secured them an audition at Decca on New Year's Day 1962. They came to London and stayed at the Royal Hotel, paying 27 shillings a night for bed and breakfast. They were poor and I wasn't rich, but we all celebrated with rum and scotch and coke, which was becoming a Beatle drink even then.
Take of Araby, a campy song from the Tin Pan Alley days that was popular during their performances with George Harrison on lead, and they did a version of Searchin', a popular Lieber and Stoller hit for the Coasters. This was the first time during the Decca auditions that you hear original Lennon and McCartney songs, including this one, like Dreamers Do with Paul on lead.
I saw a girl in my dreams, and so it seems that I will love her. Oh, you, you are that girl in my dreams, and so it seems that I will love you. And I waited for your kiss, waited for the bliss.
Original that would factor into the Decca audition, but did it go as planned? Brian Epstein will tell us about that in a moment here on the Amy Beth Arkowe Show, remembering 50-plus years of fab Beatlemania. Hey, if you got some memories about the Beatles, by all means, please reach out via Twitter today at AB Writes. Doug Darley did. She said, yeah, I remember dating myself, but I saw him at Sullivan and at Shea Stadium Thanks for the oldies. Still fab, oh, so many years later. Indeed they are. Now's the time to date yourself. Hey, if you've got a juicy story and you're listening live in the 9 o'clock hour out west, 11 central, and noon here in the east, call us. We'll squeeze you in at 347-857-4505. The Amy with Arkley Show, by the way, today being brought to you in part by FedEx One Rate, flat rate shipping with the reliability of FedEx, and by 5-Hour Energy. Take it when you need a boost. So was it a happy New Year's Day in 1962 for the Fab Four, who then, by the way, included Pete Best, the drummer, at least for a while? More on that in a bit. But maybe didn't go as according to plan. Here's more from Brian Epstein.
Well, the recording test came and went. The people that decide about these things at Decca said no. Well, you can imagine I was more worried about what I was going to say to the boys, having built up their hopes. So I allowed myself a final 24 hours to exhaust the remaining disc companies, and I booked into the Green Park Hotel. In the morning, I took a cab to the EMI office block in Manchester Square, London, to meet the man who would, within less than 2 years, produce 16 number one discs by my artists.
That man, of course, A&R man, George Martin.
Joy is something new.
going to love me do the original version, audition version, with Pete Best on drums. As we remember Beatlemania 50 plus years of fab on the Amy Beth Arkowitz show. And Besame Mucho, a song the guys like to perform in the clubs, another hit for the Coasters. Now, here was the deal with George Martin. He liked them, thought they had potential. He did, of course, sign them. But there would be some changes. They needed polishing, and they needed to get rid of their drummer. He didn't like Pete Best. He didn't like his looks. He didn't like his slow drumming, so they switched in Ringo Starr. Interestingly enough, when they came back for another session a couple of months later, with Ringo in tow and behind the kit, at one point for Let Me Do, they switched out Ringo in favor of a studio drummer named Andy White. This distressed, of course, Ringo and John and Paul because they went through this whole tumult with Pete Best being ousted. But that was the one and only time it happened. But still, they had to come up with a single, and George Martin wasn't convinced they had one yet. So they tried their hand at How Do You Do It? See if this sounds familiar, or maybe not.
How do you do what you do to me? I wish I knew. If I knew how you do it to me, I'd do it to you. How do you do what you do to me? I'm feeling blue. Wish I knew how you do it to me, but I have no clue. You give me a feeling in my heart, ooh, la la, like an arrow passing through it. That you think you're very smart, but won't you tell me how do you do it? How do you do what you do to me? I wish I knew. If I knew how you do it to me, I'd do it to you.
On the Amy Beth Arkowitz show. Yeah, I know it sounds a little familiar, but the Beatles never recorded that as a single. How Do You Do It? It was a song written by Mitch Murray. George Martin liked it. The Beatles, not so much. They went along with it. They polished it. They tried it. But they really were steadfast in recording their own original songs for singles now. Now they made the transition. They didn't want to do the covers anymore. Well, that became a big hit for Freddie and the Dreamers, but they said, please, can we do our own? And Please, Please Me became their first single.
Come on, please, please me, oh yeah, like I
we were performers in Liverpool, Hamburg, and around the dance halls, you know, and what we generated was fantastic, where we played straight rock. And there was nobody to touch us in Britain, you know.
Those DJs roll over their hits in the U.S. in short order as we get revved up for the Beatles' dissension on the Ed Sullivan stage. We're going to talk and listen to what people were listening to and talking about back in 1964. That's coming up on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after these brief words from our sponsors.
Every day I wake up, pour myself a cup of that rich Folgers aroma.
The best part of waking up,
it's the
doo-wop, doo-wop, it all I do.
The mountain goat aroma, always coming through.
Always coming through.
Oh, the best part of waking up,
it's Folgers in your cup.
Now I'm right
what
in harmony with that
doo-wop, doo-wop, ditty.
Whoa, one more cup.
The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Ah, those speedy Alka-Seltzer bubbles burst into action to relieve your upset stomach and aching head fast. It was only as directed. Oh, what a relief it is. What a relief.
Is the applause sign not working again?
Nothing's working here. Here we go. Hey, welcome back. It is the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show on Friday, February 7th, as we get ready for the big 50th anniversary of the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show this Sunday. Check out that CBS concert special featuring Paul and Ringo reunited. I think John Mayer is listed. The Eurythmics are reunited. Annie Lennox and Dave Stewart. So it should be a fascinating and Fab show. That's the CBS, I think, 8 p.m. Check your local listings, as they say. Hey, before, I think I mentioned that the Beatles attempt at their first single, How Do You Do It, was recorded by Freddie and the Dreamers. I was wrong. It's Jerry and the Pacemakers had a hit with that back in 1964. So, you know, it sounded familiar, but it was a little different. Every group had a little bit of a different sound. So we're revved up now. The Beatles are descending. In fact, it was back on this date 50 years ago, February 7th, 1964. They arrived in New York, getting ready to all the throngs of screaming girls, teens outside the airport waiting for them. In fact, it was at the airport that Ed Sullivan, or at a ship, I think, outside where a cruise ship awaited them. Ed Sullivan had spotted them, and that's how he signed them up. But we'll talk more about that in a few moments. But what else were people listening to and thinking about? I mean, you know, early 64, as you remember, the country was still reeling from the death of the assassination of President John Kennedy. Civil rights were really heating up. The Civil Rights Act was right on the cusp of passing. Of course, that took a big ding just recently, so things change. They go back and forth in history. But what else were people listening to? Let's start with the charts back in this week, February 8th, 1964. At number 10, clinging to the top 10, was the guy who was at number 1 when the Beatles came into town with their songs in January of that year. And here he is, Bobby Vinton. There, I've said it again. He saw the handwriting on the wall.
I love you. There's nothing to hide. It's better than burning inside. I love you. No use to pretend. There, I've said it again. I've said it. What more can I say? Believe me, there's no other way. I love you. I will till the end. Up all that I feel for you, but what good are phrases of thought that amazes is you love me, and if heavenly forgive me for wanting you so, but one thing I want. I've loved you since heaven knows when. There, I've said it again. Forgive me for wanting you so, but one thing I want you to know. I've loved you since heaven knows when.
Loving you the way I do, I take you back with
On the wane, but Rick Nelson was still in the top 10 at number 8 for you back in this week, February 8th, 1964. A beauty from the Burt Bacharach Hal David songbook with their muse Dionne Warwick and Anyone Who Had a Heart. And of course, Bobby Vinton, still crooning, but reading the writing on the wall. There, I've said it again. It is the Amy Beth Arkley Show here as we remember Beatlemania 50 plus years of fab. So, what were people watching on TV back in early 1964. Well, some of the shows that debuted in January, Top of the Pops was on BBC television. This side of the pond, the Hollywood Palace was on ABC, making its debut on January 4th. That Was the Week That Was made its debut as a series on January 10th after a successful hour-long special in November of 1963. It was the first half-hour satirical review broadcast live from New York City, kind of a precursor to Saturday Night Live and others to follow. Later in the spring, March 30th, the game show Jeopardy! Appeared on NBC Daytime. No, Alex Trebek was not the host. It was Art Fleming. Yeah, I kind of remember that. I'm too young to remember the heyday of Beatlemania, but I do remember Jeopardy! With Art Fleming, which I guess ran for quite a while, the 70s.
who are a little younger would remember. And shows like Shindig, Bewitched, Peyton Place, Flipper, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., The Munsters all came later in 1964. That's what people were watching. And they were listening to some interesting stuff. At number 7, we're going to skip that one because the Beatles captivated that spot as well. But at number 6, I'm not sure if it was a novelty record or kind of the precursor to thrasher punk. In any event, it's The Trash Man and Surfin' Bird. At number 6, the week of February 8th, 1964.
Well, everybody's heard about the bird. Bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. The bird is a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. Well, the bird is a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. Well, the bird is a winner. Well, the bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. Well, the bird is a winner. Well, the bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, don't you know about the bird? Well, everybody knows that the bird is a winner. Well, the bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well,
Cobra, don't you know you're gonna shut them down? I took my Cobra down to the track, hitched to the back of my Cadillac. Everyone was there just waiting for me. There were plenty of stingrays and XKs. Don't you know you're gonna shut them down? When the flag went down, you could hear rubber burn. The stingray had me going into the turn. I hung a big ship and I got to the high. And when I flew by the stingray, I waved bye-bye. Cobra, don't you know you're gonna shut them down? Around the far turn in a straightaway, I was blowing off everything that got in my way. The stingrays and jags were so far behind, I took my Cobra out of gear and let it coast to the line. You know you're gonna shut 'em down, shut 'em down, shut 'em down, shut 'em down, shut 'em down.
That's a little like the Beach Boys, but it's not. It is, of course, the Ripcords, nestled into number 4 back on this week, February 8th, 1964, with Hey Little Cobra, Major Lance, and Surfin' Bird from the Trashmen. At number 6, the Beatles, of course, they had a hit number 7. So what were the big Oscar winners that year? The Best Picture nominees were America, America, Cleopatra, Now the West Was Won, Lilies of the Field, and Tom Jones. The winner? Surprisingly, Tom Jones. Not that it wasn't a good movie, but it didn't, you know, I thought maybe Cleopatra would win. Lilies of the Field was certainly a big movie. Best Actor nominees included Albert Finney for Tom Jones, Richard Harris for The Sporting Life, Rex Harrison for Cleopatra, Paul Newman for Hood. We know it wasn't Paul Newman who won because he was a hard luck Harry until he finally won for The Color of Money many years later. And Sidney Poitier was the winner for Lilies of the Field. Yeah, a lot of people think he won his Oscar for In the Heat of the Night. Not so. Both great performances, by the way. Best Actress, Leslie Caron was nominated for The L-Shaped Room, Shirley MacLaine for Irma LaDuce, Patricia Neal for Hud, Rachel Roberts, This Sporting Life, Natalie Wood, Love with the Proper Stranger, and the winner was Patricia Neal for Hud. Actor in a supporting role, Bobby Darin got a nod for Captain Newman, M.D. These are great movies. A lot of them are on TCM, especially this time of year as they did their Oscar celebration. Melvin Douglas for Hud, Hugh Griffith for Tom Jones, and John Huston for The Cardinal. The winner went to Melvin Douglas. Everybody was cleaning up at Hud, but not poor Paul Newman. Actress in a supporting role, I guess they only had 4 back then, right? Dame Edith Evans for Tom Jones, Joyce Redmond for Tom Jones, Margaret Rutherford for the VIPs, and Lilia Scala for Lilies of the Field. Surprising winner, I guess, that year was Margaret Rutherford for the VIPs, but if you see that movie, it's got a star-studded cast with Richard Burton, and I think it's Richard Burton, and Liz Taylor is in it, but Margaret Rutherford does steal that show, that movie. It's a fun movie, so check it out. That's what was the Oscar roster for 1964, and I believe the host, let me double check this, do we have it, Trudy? I believe the host was Jack Lemmon. Yeah, Jack Lemmon was the host of the Oscars back then. This year, of course, is going to be Ellen DeGeneres. It's her second time around. I wonder how she's going to pull it off. Probably a little more fan-friendly for all audiences than Seth MacFarlane proved last year, but we'll see how she does. It's a tough thing to host. I think the best one in my era is Billy Crystal. A lot of people love Bob Hope. He did it for a long time. I think Johnny Carson did it once. We know Letterman did it, not so successfully. They never had Jay Leno do it. Maybe he'll do that next. Now that they say goodbye to Jay Leno after 22 years. Did you see it last night? It was kind of an emotional evening for Jay. Got broke up at the end. Some interesting folks, including Billy Crystal, showed up. Carol Burnett was there. She did her Tarzan yell. Oprah Winfrey. Garth Brooks performed. A heartfelt night. Jay Leno, I don't know why he takes so many swams. He's a good, hardworking everyman, comedian for a lot of folks, the number one ratings leader. I think the longest running host. I think he hosted it longer than Johnny, yes, am I right? got to double check that. But certainly leaves nothing to be ashamed of. Jimmy Fallon, I'm sure, will do a great job too. But some people beat him up a little bit in the press. But on the other hand, he makes a lot of money, and he says you got to expect that. So good for you, Jay, and go out there and have some fun and a great life. He's already got his he works a lot of hard comic dates, stand-up dates. He loves doing that even while he was doing The Tonight Show, so he'll just do more and more of those. He's got a few lined up already, including a standing Sunday night gig that he does out in California. All right, back to our list here. In 1964, the week of February 8th, at number three on the roster, it is a little peppy instrumental from the Marquettes called Out of Limits.
I love you.
sensation Leslie Gore at number two with her pre-feminist anthem, You Don't Own Me. She sure owned that immutable hair, right? Always a pleasure to give a shout-out to a fellow Sarah Lawrence grad. In fact, she was hitting the charts before she ever went to college. Leslie Gore at number two. Number one, of course, captivated by the Beatles with their first big hit in the U.S. that would remain number one until it was displaced by another big hit from the Beatles later in March. But first, let's remember the big scene Sunday night, February 9th, 1964, when the Beatles descended and 72 million people watched the culture change on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
Close your eyes and I'll give you that I'm kissing the lips I am missing and hope that my dreams will come true.
number, I'd like to ask your help. Would the people in the cheaper seats clap your hands? And the rest...
One, two...
Till There Was You, and, of course, All My Loving. She Loves You, by the way, would inch out another Beatles song from number one a month or so later. We'll talk about that in a moment. Thanks so much for sharing your Beatlemania memories with us. On the Twitter feed, Kathy says, all the girls love Paul. I went for George. He was quiet and mysterious. Lily says, yeah, I remember. Love them all. Love the oldies. Johnny Fever's Hangover says, not into the Beatles until Revolver, Abbey Road era. They went from crooners to hippies. That's a whole other story, another show. But thank you, Johnny, for checking in, and thank you as well. A couple of programming notes before we wrap things up. I just want to make one comment about we lost a legend yesterday. Ralph Kiner passed away, the legendary Hall of Fame baseball player and sportscaster. I grew up watching him offer color commentary to the Mets games. What a truly beloved figure he was in Mets fans' history. Apparently a really nice guy, too, just a fun figure, and he certainly will be missed. He, you know, cut back over the years. He was 91 years old, but had appeared, at least a couple of times a month he would do games on the weekend with the guys in the booth for a couple of innings. So, Ralph, rest well, my friend, and thank you for all the great memories and commentary. So that's one unfortunate note to pass on. On a happier note, programming note, on Monday we will get ready for the romance season. Talk about the language of love with linguist and romance writer Julie Tettle Anderson. Also meet indie rocker Carl Michael. Lots to catch up on with our free-flow pop culture convo, I'm sure. And I've been neglecting our Inspiration to Action Challenge success stories. We've got a few in the mailbag. We'll talk about that, maybe a creative nudge or two for you. By the way, if you need any help creativity coaching-wise, or you'd like to be a guest on the show or have a suggestion, reach out via the website, amybetharkowy.com. And don't forget, you can hear this show or any other show that you may have missed or want to hear again. They're all archived for podcast at the Blog Talk Radio site. Follow the Amy Beth Arkowi Show there. Download episodes on iTunes or, of course, at said website. Also the place to go should you want to find out more about my stories. The Eliza Gordon Mystery Series, both Killing Time and Dead Silent, are available for ebook and paperback as well. That's enough of the promotional nonsense. And yeah, we're doing our Funny Valentine show on next Friday, featuring love songs and dedications. We're taking on love, romantic, silly, cruel, you name it. If you have a dedication or request, get it in ASAP, as in today, because we want to have time to load up all the goodies in our big musical box of chocolates with Trudy and Aurora and the gang. So please do so via the website, amybetharkowi.com, or at Twitter, at ABWrites. Just use the hashtag FunnyValentine, so we'll know. We'll find it, basically, is what we're saying. Okay, okay. Let's get it together as we wrap things up. The number one hit back in this week in 1964, where it had been since it displaced Bobby Vinton in January, and where it would remain until it was displaced by another Fab Four song, She Loves You, in March, on the week of March 21st, 1964. Yep, their big first hit, I Want to Hold Your Hand. So we'll leave you with that one and a couple more if we have time. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, thank you, Trudy and Aurora, for all the hard work. ML at TCS headquarters. Don't forget, have a great weekend. Lots of bad weather, I know, still out there. Oregon, Northwest, they're having a big snowstorm. Take it easy out there. Coming forward again to the Northeast. Bundle up, drive safe, play nice, dream big. Hey, please visit us again on the Amy Beth Arkowi Show. Take care. Have a fab week. Talk to you soon.
Tell you something.
you back again. This boy, this boy, this boy.
Since you've all been such good boys and girls, I would like to take everybody in this entire audience out for milk and cookies. There are buses outside. Everybody, follow me.